Track 2, Addressing Feelings of Disempowerment. On the last track, we discussed the various forms of isolation that male survivors of sexual abuse experience by others and by themselves. As you know, between the ages of 8 and 12, boys are building the personality traits they will call upon later on in life. Sexual abuse warps and interrupts this process, as you are aware. On this track, we will address the idea of empowerment as the foundation for healing and how to build it through building a sense of responsibility and accountability through developing his understanding of his power and its limitations through equipping the client with knowledge and empowering skills. As you know, when a client is sexually abused, he experiences a feeling of powerlessness, as we mentioned on the first track. I believe that rebuilding a young boy's feelings of empowerment is fundamental to his recovery process. Do you agree? If a boy does not resolve his feelings of powerlessness, two results can occur. Number one, he will continue to see himself as a helpless victim with very few behavior options. Or two, he will try to regain power by controlling others through aggressiveness or abusive behaviors. Craig, age 13, was already exhibiting the qualities of this last option, known as identifying with the aggressor. Craig was referred to me after he was caught violently bullying children in his class during recess. His teacher relayed to me that Craig would push his classmates into wooden playground equipment. Some of them suffered severe head injuries. While in therapy, Craig revealed to me that his stepfather, Jerry, had been sexually abusing him for the past 3 months. This abuse consisted of Jerry pushing Craig into walls. As you can see, Craig was reenacting his abuse. By adapting the tactics of his abuser, Craig was trying to overcome his feelings of powerlessness. Of course, appropriate steps were taken regarding this claim of abuse. As you know, the first step in rebuilding a client's sense of healthy or positive power is by rebuilding responsibility and accountability. Craig needed to recognize when choices are available, choose an alternative, and follow through on that alternative. To do this, I made sure I involved Craig in all of the following: setting up the assessment appointment, developing the rules that we both would follow during treatment, planning his treatment, determining the extent and type of his participation in each session, and deciding when to leave therapy. I also encourage Craig to make important decisions in his everyday life. The second step in rebuilding a client's sense of healthy or positive power is by developing an understanding of power and its limitations. Craig needed to recognize that the limitations on his power stemmed from the fact that he was a child and children are not responsible for the decisions of others. However, I reiterated to Craig that he could exercise power by choosing whether to develop his own ideas or to accept the ideas of others. In each session, I discussed with Craig the various ways he controlled his environment since I last saw him. Craig stated, "This week, Kevin, my friend at school, told me that he wasn't my friend anymore and I didn't hit him. I told him that I still wanted to be his friend and talked to him with words, and now we're friends still." By expressing and controlling his surroundings, not through violent action, but through a mature verbal expression of emotions, Craig was already exhibiting his ability to regain power through healthy and positive means. In addition to responsibility and accountability and understanding of power and its limitations, the third step for Craig in recovering a sense of power was by equipping him with knowledge and skills. The use of knowledge and skills helped Craig recognize more options in situations and easing his feelings of helplessness. Craig realized that being powerful did not mean controlling others. To aid him in realizing this, I found the following self-evaluation exercise beneficial. As you know, boys of Craig's age are unaware of the effects his abuse is having on his development. To help him, I use the therapy strategy of self-evaluation to analyze these effects and to initiate discussion. I asked Craig to make a check mark next to the statements that best described how he feels. The statements that Craig checked off included, I feel different from other people because of the abuse. I'm filled with anger. I'm afraid a lot of the time. My moods change all the time. I can't control much of anything now. I don't seem to get along with other kids anymore. The rest of these self-evaluation questions are found in the back of your manual that accompanies this home study course. A summary of Craig's response is as follows. I think the way my stepfather treated me made me feel like I had to hurt other kids. I really want to change. I really want to have better friends and not feel like I have to control them with hurtful actions. I know now that the abuse happened because Jerry made a bad decision, and it didn't happen because I was bad or because I deserved it. Now that Craig could finally pinpoint the reasons he had been trying to violently control his classmates, he is taking the initial steps towards addressing these impulses. Craig was starting to gain some insights into his feelings of helplessness stemming from his stepfather's behavior and not his own inherent weakness. On this track, we discuss the idea of empowerment as the foundation for healing and how to build it through building a sense of responsibility and accountability through developing his understanding of his power and its limitations, and through equipping the client with knowledge and empowering skills. On the next track, we will examine criteria which indicates individual therapy rather than group therapy. The criteria includes undisclosed personal information about sexual abuse, assault by a stranger, and if group therapy would be an unnecessarily stressful situation. Question 2. What are 3 ways that can rebuild a client's sense of empowerment?